It's episode 4 of the Crossover Podcast, your 1,075th stop for all superhero movie news. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Matt. This week on the podcast, we're going to be going over, you know, your standard Marvel DC movie news, a little bit of casting, and we're going to end with some Marvel villains talk.
It'll be a short discussion. You can reach us at the Crossover Podcast at gmail.com or find us on Facebook. And like us over there, or find us on YouTube and subscribe. And this episode's late, because I have a job.
Not me, I just wander around. Yeah. Okay, why don't we start this off with one former superhero turd talking about another superhero turd. We have Ryan Reynolds was asked about Fantastic Four. And so...
I don't know if you should call him a former turd, because... He's in your most anticipated movie of next year.
Yeah, but he's still a former turd.
I guess.
I mean, he's
It wasn't his fault.
Yeah, that's true. It was not his fault.
Stop blaming him.
I don't blame him.
Stop blaming for your life's mistakes.
I blame the 600 people who tried to write Green Lantern.
That's not true.
So,
I thought you were talking about Deadpool. I forgot he was in Green Lantern for a second there.
So anyway, they asked him about Fantastic Four.
Right.
And he was kind of bemoaning the fact that it might have a negative effect on Michael B. Jordan and Kate Mara. Because, like Green Lantern, was not his fault.
Right.
Fantastic Four was not their fault.
Right. No, it wasn't.
Not at all. I mean, they were both, you know, as good as they could possibly be in roles. It's just that they were given nothing.
Well, the thing is, problem is that it won't... I don't think it'll affect them that much, because Michael B. Jordan has... done a lot of critically recognized things, critically lauded things like Fruitvale Station, and basically in almost every movie he's in, people are like, he's like the best thing in it. Yeah. And also he's going to be in Creed, which he's leading by himself, basically. I don't think Sylvester
Stallone. I think 70-year-old Sylvester Stallone.
Well, he's in it, but I don't know how large his part really is. I think it's more about the kid.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then Kate Mara, she still has a lot of great buzz probably from House of Cards, because she was on House of Cards.
Yeah. She's also in The Martian.
Yeah, she's in The Martian, which opens this week. So, yeah. And Miles Teller, I mean, I know he didn't mention Miles Teller.
He did, actually, but he's like, Miles Teller's going to be fine.
Yeah, because Miles Teller...
Well, he's a white guy.
Well, so, that too, yeah. But also, but so is Ryan Reynolds. I mean, that's the thing. Miles Teller has done, again... more, I would say, critically lauded stuff than Ryan Reynolds did. Green Lantern was his...
Yeah.
Green Lantern was his big shot, and then it blew up in his face.
Just slightly.
Not that it was his fault, again. Yeah. But, you know, so...
Yeah, but he was the lead in that movie, so he took the fall in a big way. And Deadpool is really his first... it's already the biggest success he's had since...
True.
Well, since before Green Lantern.
I mean, he still led movies after Green Lantern, like R.I.P.D., but that was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was terrible. Made like $10.
It did.
Opening weekend. So, anyway, I hope it doesn't have an effect. I think you're right. I don't think it'll have an effect on Michael B. Jordan or Kate Mara. I think they'll be fine.
You know, I'm sure they'll all be back for Fantastic Four 2.
Well, yeah. Straight to DVD next year. All right. No, actually, it'll probably be in 6.9 years, right before the license is getting ready to expire again.
That's right. Let's keep in mind why we make these movies.
Right. Next up, Kingsman.
Yes.
Yes. So, Kingsman.
Technically not a superhero news, but that's okay.
Well, it's a Millar story. Mark Millar.
Mark Millar. Yeah. It's Millar. It's pronounced Millar, but Millar, it's spelled Millar.
Start shooting early next year. The only reason this is in the news is because they're talking about Colin Firth's possible involvement with it.
Which, if you've seen the movie, you know. It's kind of impossible.
Kind of impossible, yeah.
But is this based on a comic? Is the second one based on a comic? Did he do a second one?
Or? Yeah, I haven't heard of one.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It worked really well in Kingsman. Colin Firth was outstanding.
Oh, he was great, yeah.
In Kingsman. And Kingsman worked as a movie. It was crazy entertaining. It had some of the best fight scenes, most memorable fight scenes of any movie in a long time. I mean, it's just really good.
Yeah.
And now it sounds like they're going to ruin it.
Of course they are, because that's what the studios do. They just milk stuff, you know, oh, this wasn't a success, milk it.
Yeah.
And they think that they're going to have, what was that, 20th Century Fox?
Yeah.
They think they're going to have their own little young James Bond, you know, franchise on their hands.
Yeah.
Except it's R-rated, so, you know, they got that going for them, but.
I thought that guy was good. What was his name?
Taron Egerton.
Yeah. I think we'll probably be seeing him in a superhero movie sooner rather than later.
Probably.
I thought for sure he was going to be in X-Men.
Oh, at Cyclops?
Yeah.
Was he in the running?
That was rumored. Nothing official came out, I don't think. I thought he was a shoe-in for Cyclops. It didn't happen. It went to somebody else.
They went with an American kid.
Yeah.
Ty Sheridan. He's great, by the way. If you've never seen anything he's done, he's great. If you got to see Mud, he was really, really good in Mud.
Oh, I've not seen
that. With Matthew McConaughey.
Anyway, they know as well as we do that Colin Firth was the star of that movie.
Yeah.
And seeing that there's no way he can be in the sequel, people were kind of wondering what they were talking about. And it looks, given Miller's comments, it looks like they're trying to bring him back in some way.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
If Mark Miller can do anything, it's make up a bunch of crap that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we will.
Because we'll talk about his other comments that he made this week.
Yes, we will. So, Jessica Jones, we talked about the supposed teaser. If you can call that a teaser that came out last time, it was a bunch of watercolor images with a logo.
Yeah, which was basically, they were kind of reminiscent of the comic book, the art alias.
Yeah.
And which was interesting because I saw it at Barnes & Noble, the collected edition of the first storyline or first couple storylines or whatever it was. And then I found out why Luke Cage, in the picture that they released, he's in a bar. It's because he owns a bar at the start. So we were talking about, is he going to have powers or not? I think he will end up having his powers in the beginning of it.
Yeah, I think that's smart. So you can always do the flashback route to...
Right, yeah, to tell
show his story. How he got his
story. I mean, that's what they did with Daredevil, and that's what they're going to have to do with her, too, because as there was another teaser that just came out, which people were calling it a quote-unquote trailer, and I was like, awesome, here we go. And I saw on the time stamp, it was like 30 seconds. I'm like, that's not a trailer. That is not a trailer. It's one thing when it's like a movie and you're like, okay, it's like 2.5 minutes of like a 2-hour thing. This is going to be 13 hours and you can't give me a stinking 3-minute trailer. Come on. Supergirl's got trailers coming out her ass.
Supergirl had a 7-minute trailer.
I know.
Before they even finished filming the pilot. So I wouldn't exactly call this a trailer. It's just a panning shot of her room as, the alarm's going off, and then she reaches over and crushes it.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the trailer.
Yeah.
And
you see her bra.
So now we know that this series is about a woman in a bra that crushes alarm clocks.
Well, she has superpowers.
Okay. I guess we did get that from it.
Yes.
So I suppose it did its job. Oh, boy, next up, this should make you happy.
Yes, MTV was talking to Hugh Jackman, because he's in Pan, and which I'll actually be seeing this weekend on a screen. And they're talking about him, of course. Anytime you talk to Hugh Jackman, talk of Wolverine comes up.
It's usually him bringing it up, by the way. He loves him some Wolverine.
They ask him the questions all the time. I'm sure, the number one question they should be asking right now is, are you in the next movie? Because that's what we want to know. Yes. But he keeps talking about his next Wolverine movie. And I guess we can also tie this into Miller's comments, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were asking him, they asked Hugh Jackman, hey, pick your replacement. Because the next Wolverine movie is supposedly going to be his last.
Yeah.
I say supposedly because I wouldn't be surprised if he turns around and says, let's keep doing Wolverine.
Older man Logan.
But his pick was Tom Hardy. Perfect. And I think Tom Hardy would be perfect.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy's right around the right age, because Wolverine is supposed to be older than the other X-Men. I don't want, 20-year-old Wolverine in this. That's when they go forward. That's stupid. He's supposed to be older than all of them. I think Tom Hardy would be perfect.
He's got the right height. He's got the right build. He's more suited for Wolverine, I think, than he was for Bane.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, is that he's also, according to, the prognosticators, i.e. the bookies, he's also supposedly the... front runner for James Bond too.
Oh, God.
To take over for Daniel Craig. And from what I understand, Daniel Craig still has a movie left on his contract. Yeah, so I'm like, why are you guys doing this?
Kind of make him feel good. Yeah, he's got a new movie coming out, another one after that, and they're like,
interview, he's like, oh, this is probably my last one. You know you're under contract for 17 movies, right? Whatever, I don't care. But I think Tom Hardy would be better suited for Wolverine than James Bond.
Yeah.
He can do suave, but he can't do as suave as James Bond needs to be. But then again, Daniel Craig is more of the rough and rougher and tumbler James Bond, so who knows? But I think Tom Hardy would be perfect as Wolverine.
Yeah, I want Idris Elba.
As Wolverine?
As Wolverine and James Bond. I think he can pull it off.
That's too many Elbas. But anyway, then somebody was talking to Mark Miller, because he is, for some reason, Fox's Marvel guru. If you've listened to me and Matt talking on like the Hodgepodge podcast or anything like that, you'll know that I like Mark Miller when he's writing his own stuff.
Yeah.
Whenever he writes other people's stuff, like Marvel, I don't know. Has he ever written for DC? I don't even know.
I don't know of any.
Whenever he's writing Marvel stuff, he always, the premise is always good, and the execution is what is severely lacking. And he wrote a story called Old Man Logan several years ago, and it was supposed to be like the last Wolverine story, basically. And again, the premise is really good. The execution was terrible. The problem, and everybody keeps thinking that this is going to be the new Wolverine movie. The problem is what the studio is saying and what Hugh Jackman has been saying is that it's really about him and Professor Xavier. And Professor Xavier is nowhere to be found in Old Man Logan at all. But they might take elements of that story and put it in there. The best thing about Old Man Logan, which I won't spoil, but all I'll say is the reason why he retires in it is the best. It's very, very dark, and it's very, very cool. The story itself is really, as usual with Mark Miller, is a lot of garbage. It's just crapping on. He's like, oh, this would be funny if I do this. And it's a lot of crapping on Marvel stuff. You know, like the villains have divvied up the United States, which is fine. That's cool. It's also a ripoff of Age of Apocalypse. But the worst part is the Hulk has like inbred children with She-Hulk.
Oh, I remember this.
And then the Hulk, I think he eats people too, just like he did in the Ultimates, which was also Mark Miller.
Oh, great!
It's really grotesque in some parts, and of course Mark Miller's comments where he's like, "Oh, well, you could make the it's not important. Like what's important about the story is basically like he said, it's like the premise. It's Wolverine getting from here to here, from this point to America, this point in America, and it's about the journey. It's not really about all the details, like who the characters were and all this stuff. So he's like, you could make it so it's not the Marvel characters. Because he travels with Hawkeye, who's blind. Spider-Man pops up in it, or his daughter pops up in it, or something like that. So you can't use any of those characters. Red Skull's involved. But he's like, oh, you could substitute the Blob for the Hulk. And he's like, you could make it like Cyclops is the one who rides with Wolverine, which would make for a nice buddy movie. And like, it would. And who knows, maybe they're going to go with it that Professor Xavier is the one who goes with him. I don't know. But yeah. I really hope they don't do it, just because when I read the story, I was like, it was such a... Wolverine's like my favorite character. But I feel like Chris Claremont is the only writer who can write him, and no one else can really write him very well, because they always come up with the dumbest crap to do to him. You know, and it's just like, I don't know. But it's the complete opposite of Batman, where it's like, you know, Batman's like my second favorite character in the comic books, but it's like you have like tons of classic Batman stories that are awesome, and then Wolverine's like, hey, it's the limited series from 1982 with Frank Miller and Chris Claremont and the rest of it. I guess you can read this crap,
yeah.
Or maybe Weapon X, you know, Barry Windsor Smith, but everyone like all these fanboys love Old Man Logan. I'm like, not this guy, yeah. So. And anything Fox does to it, and you'll never hear me say this ever again, anything Fox does to it will probably be an improvement.
I can't believe you just said that.
I did. They'll probably put the Fantastic Four in it so they can get some mileage out of them. The Thing. He has inbred children.
Yeah. Let's move on to what I have not heard about, so you're going to have to fill me in on this. Some Sinister Six news.
Yeah, I think it was Collider was interviewing Drew Goddard. I forget what he's working on or something like that, but they were interviewing him. Oh, he's involved with The Martian, and yeah. I think he wrote the screenplay. So they're interviewing him and stuff like that, and they asked him about Sinister Six, and he explained to them how it was going to fit into the universe. And the way he described it, I mean, I've knocked on that stupid idea for the movie a lot, but the way he described it is actually very, very cool. The way he envisioned it was like a summer annual, issue where Spider-Man would be in it, but it was kind of like removed from continuity. It would probably reference stuff that happened, but it wouldn't be like in the flow of continuity. So the way he described it was actually pretty cool. And he said it could still happen. He said because it's not really tied to the continuity, they could still do it if they wanted to. So Sinister Six is still alive, technically.
Well, what's he saying? You're saying it's like a summer annual. Did he give any idea about
it? It's like a one-shot. It's like a one-shot adventure, basically, where like the villains would come together to get Spider-Man, and then it's just this big, epic, you know, battle, basically, with Spider-Man and the six villains, basically.
Okay.
Which works. I mean, you know, and they can still do
kind of what Sinister Six is, but...
Right. Like but what I'm saying is that, like, I think people felt that the movies were kind of trying to... Now, he could be also trying to save face, too, after the disaster of Amazing Spider-Man, but
yeah.
It felt like those Amazing Spider-Man movies were kind of building up to that.
Yeah, totally.
But what he's saying is that you could totally still do it, because the way I envisioned it was that it wasn't even really... Like, those movies might have introduced these characters, but it wasn't, like, tied to them so tightly that you couldn't do it with...
So he says it's like a standalone movie.
Basically, yeah. Basically. He said you could still do it with the new kid if you wanted to.
Okay. Well, I'm always up for more Spider-Man, but that movie just sounded so dumb right from the start. But maybe a lot of that was just me not looking forward to the versions of those villains that they had
started. Well, it was like putting the cart before the horse, basically.
Yeah.
Hey, let's make Sinister Six. Now let's shoehorn all these people into this.
Well, they're laying the groundwork for all those villains in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Because down in the vault, you know, where Harry went down to become Green Goblin. Yeah, I'm sorry. We don't talk about that movie anymore. But anyway, they all seemed horrible. And I wanted nothing to do with that Sinister Six.
Speaking of Spider-Man.
Yeah. We now know, and this is very important news.
This is very big news.
Yes.
This was the biggest news flash of the day when it came out.
Yeah, I went screaming into the streets when I found out about it. Spider-Man, we now know, is going to be 15 years old.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
It's true! My dreams! Okay, moving on.
Whoopee-doo.
Yay! All right, Blade. Wesley Snipes thinking about possibly coming back.
Yeah, I think, well, it all depends on what Marvel wants to do with it, but
yeah.
I think...
So they have the rights back now.
Right.
Whoop-de-doo. They also have Ghost Rider, Punisher.
I never understood the allure of Ghost Rider. To me, he was like a one-off character, and that's basically it, but apparently in the 90s, he went through like a resurgence. People were like, ooh, Ghost Rider! They even shoehorned him in the X-Men, for God's sake. I was like, what? I mean, he wasn't part of the team. He was just in one of the...
Yeah.
I think it's because Jim Lee wanted to draw us Ghost Rider. I don't know. So they shoehorned it into one of the story arcs.
I think they put him in Planet Hulk as well. Oh, no, World War Hulk. As well. I think they, like, Thunderbolt or somebody sent him after the Hulk. And he went there to do, you know, his penitent stare or whatever. Right. And he was like, this man is innocent. And then he sided with the Hulk.
We just made things much worse.
Yes. I don't know, you know, how old is Wesley Snipes now?
He's got to be in his 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on that show on NBC, The Player. He still looks great. So, I mean, I think he could pull it off, maybe, but...
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe they could bring Ryan Reynolds back.
Maybe. What's his character's name?
It was Wade Wilson.
It was Hannibal... Yeah. What's his name? Hannibal Lecter?
It was Wade. It was his audition for Wade Wilson. That scene with him when he's tied to the chair and Triple H and Parker Posey, I think, is also in that scene.
Oh, yeah.
That scene is hilarious, and it's also the only good part of Blade 3.
Never saw it.
Yep. So, you know, maybe he makes a comeback. Maybe he doesn't.
Probably not.
I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, who else are they going to cast? I mean, there's...
Yeah, you know, there's lots of people you can
There's
cast.
Only so many black actors.
Right. What else we got? Marvel's Most Wanted.
We were talking about the Mockingbird spinoff a couple episodes ago, I think, and that's the title of it, Marvel's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they've started filming that pilot yet, but it's still at the pilot stage.
Okay.
But, Mockingbird is going to be in S.H.I.E.L.D.,
mm-hmm.
which actually starts tonight, I think.
If not, yeah.
But,
They've been releasing a lot of promo images. I'm surprised that we haven't heard more if they are going to do this show, why haven't we heard more about it?
I would think it probably won't start.
Is this like a next year thing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. Oh, yeah, for sure. Because okay. that because if at the earliest, it'll be next year. Because you've got S.H.I.E.L.D. and then you've got Agent Carter. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being maybe like a summer series, maybe.
Mm. That would be cool. Sense. Another like 8-part. Yeah. Kind of like Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Well, that would be cool. I mean, I loved Mockingbird on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Season 2. Yeah, she was good.
She was really good. The suit looked good. I like Adrienne Pilkey in the role.
Yeah.
I thought she was pretty good.
She looks better than that than Wonder Woman.
Right.
Nice vinyl pants.
Yeah, they were really nice. Let's move on to some Civil War. Civil War news. Some Vision talk this week from Paul Bettany.
Yeah, Paul Bettany was doing interviews, and he says, the Vision falls in between good and evil. Well, thanks, dummy. And apparently I think they say he's going to kind of oscillate, and he doesn't know which side to side with.
Yeah.
And he also would not reveal in the interview how long his Marvel contract is for.
It's
so,
38 movies.
Yeah, it's 30 million movies.
He is a robot, after all.
Yeah.
So he can go infinite movies.
Vision, why do you look so old? Because the actor who plays me is 70 years old. I need to stop. Please, kill me.
Please.
Kill me now.
Shoot me in the face.
Other Civil War news, there was some Comic-Con, I think, in Utah or something like that.
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. And Captain America. I don't even know these actors' names anymore.
Chris Evans. Chris Evans is Captain America.
Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan were all there. And they were talking about Civil War and stuff like that. They basically say it is a Captain America movie. They kind of explain, Chris Evans kind of explained how it all goes down, how they get to the point where they go to Civil War. And it sounds cool. It sounds plausible.
It's, yeah.
You know. And then Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie talked about who should take over for Captain America. Because if you read the comics, both their characters become Captain America at some point.
Yeah. And, most people do in the comics.
Become
Captain America at some point.
Anthony Mackie said that Sebastian Stan should, that Bucky should become Captain America. And Sebastian Stan then agreed with him and said, yes, Bucky should be Captain America.
You're right. I should be Captain America.
I'm sure Anthony Mackie was like, nice dick.
Yeah.
So... yeah,
that was a setup. you know what? I'm good with Chris Evans.
Yeah. I hope they never get rid of Chris Evans. I mean, you know, it's not like there isn't 50 years of stories they could tell with Steve Rogers as Captain America.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the one thing I do worry about with Marvel is that in their quest to probably make the comics and the movies more synergistic, they're going to try and get as quickly to the new stuff that's happening in the comics. And while some of the new stuff that's happening in comics is cool, it's not necessarily the best stuff.
So you're talking about the all new, all different.
Oh, yeah. Where Falcon is Captain America and, you know, Steve Rogers is 9,000 years old and, you know, and Lady Thor and, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, you know, they're neat stories, but it's like, you know, that took 50 years to get to. Just pace yourselves.
Yeah.
Pace yourselves.
Well, I think you're probably right, but looking at it from their point of view, they're building up to Infinity War.
That's the only thing that gives me hope is because Infinity War came a long time ago. That came in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So, and Civil War came in 2005, 10 years ago, I guess. So they are mixing it up. So that's good. But, you know, don't make it, you don't have to tie it so close to the comics that, because you've already diverted from the comics already with a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to tie it so close that, you know, you cut off your nose to spite your face, you know. You got Chris Evans. He wants to re-up. Let him do like 5 more Captain America movies or whatever. That's fine.
But only with the Russo brothers.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Unless they let us direct it.
Right. Which I'd be okay with. I would let them.
Yes.
I would let them let me and you write this movie and direct it.
Yes.
I would allow it.
There would be copious Peggy Carter nude scenes. This movie is rated R. We need a PG.
It is a hard R.
Look. If you've got it, flaunt it.
Right.
But she's 70 years old in this part of the movie. No, it doesn't matter. No.
Constant flashbacks.
She took some of the super soldier serum. She drank his blood. She drank his blood. She's fine.
She had the blood in the wall.
Yes. She drank it. She's fine.
She's fine now. That was a life model decoy.
Yes.
And Captain America 2.
She was in another building watching from afar.
She's even more beautiful now.
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe we will. If that was our pitch, I don't think we're going to get a call.
Yes, we will.
All right, maybe we will. But call us. Not from Marvel. Probably from Penthouse.
Yeah. From DC.
Yeah.
We want you to write that Captain America movie.
We want that gritty reboot.
We want that Captain America movie, and then we're going to slide it to somebody's into somebody's laptop, and then they're going to make that movie like a bunch of idiots.
I'll start storyboarding this tomorrow.
Good.
Okay. It's basically just going to be my Pinterest board of Haley Atwell. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, let's stick with Marvel. Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
Recently was talking about some rumors that he has been cast in Doctor Strange, and he gave the standard Marvel denial, which is, I've not heard anything from Marvel about Doctor Strange, whom I love. I love all the stories. But I don't know anything. You know as much as I do.
I'm the only man in the world who knows the Doctor Strange stories.
Yeah, so... because
nobody reads Doctor Strange.
Mads Mikkelsen, I'm just going to go, he's totally been cast.
Probably, yeah.
In Doctor Strange. Who could he play, though?
I think they thought he was going to play Mephisto, maybe?
Mm.
I forget what the other character was that they were talking about.
We had the Ancient One cast already. That's Tilda Swinton. We have Mordo.
Baron Mordo is Chiwetalji Ejiofor.
Yep.
Rachel McAdams is Mystery Woman Clea.
And then we have Benedict Cumberbatch, of course. Wasn't there someone else that was cast in this movie? Maybe not. Officially.
I can't remember.
But I keep Mads Mikkelsen. He's been rumored for a long time.
Yeah.
He's pretty much in it.
Speaking of Marvel castings as well, I was just looking at this article online, and it's like a clickbait article, but and there's no basis for what they say, but they're basically like, hey, if you want to cast Captain Marvel, there's somebody who's perfect for the role, and I guess it's just based on looks or whatever, but they're like, Jennifer Lawrence should be who Marvel goes with.
Yeah, I've thought about Jennifer Lawrence as
If she leaves X-Men, the door's wide open there.
She's been sort of hinting at it. I think she said that Apocalypse was going to last.
I thought she was going back and forth on it. Yeah. Because she was saying that she was going to leave, and then she says, oh, no, but if they still want me to do it, I'll do it, and yada, yada. I know Fassbender wants to keep doing it. I think McAvoy wants to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But Mystique, the movies have made her into a much larger character.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's not a ton. I mean, she's already done a lot in the X-Men movies. She's been in almost every one of them.
Well, I mean, of the first class from that she was in. Yeah, she had. Oh, Mystique, the character. Yeah. Well, but it wasn't really until First Class that they made her this big deal. You know, like, because she, in the original three, she was just Magneto's henchwoman, basically.
Yeah.
But in the new ones, they're like, oh, by the way, she was like sisters, Professor Xavier's adopted sister. It's like, what?
Yeah. She's actually the creepiest little girl.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's what Alan said.
the face on that girl when she's like little baby Mystique. Oh, my God. I had nightmares for weeks. She's horrifying.
But throw her name into the ring. Because she definitely looks like Captain Marvel. And obviously, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but Jennifer Lawrence can kind of act.
Yeah, just
so, I mean, it's not like Ronda Rousey where you're like, she looks like Captain Marvel, but she can't act her way out of a paper bag.
Right. It would fit Marvel's casting strategy so far. Because normally what they do is, for the lead role, they get like some super big actor and then they're kind of filling around.
Right.
Good actors, but in supporting roles.
Right.
But also some unknowns in there, too.
Right.
The unknowns usually coming in the director's chair. well, I mean, a lot of times it's true.
No, that's true.
I think, you know what? She would be really good. But then there's always, you know, your pick, Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
But I would also love to see her. I think at this point, Sackhoff, probably not in the running.
She's probably out of the running. I gotta be honest though, when I saw the article and I was like, you know what, Jennifer Lawrence would actually be pretty perfect.
Yeah,
but
I mean physically,
but
it's a physically demanding role,
right?
And
she can do it. She's done the Hunger Games. Show. Yeah, but then again, Emily Blunt did Edge of Tomorrow, which she had to walk around with that 50-pound suit or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, she got pretty ripped for that role.
But, I don't know. I mean, she...
No, either one of them could do it. I just think if you're... I mean, the fanboy thing is still only cast by, you know, the person's appearance.
Right, right.
She is closer to Carol Danvers than Emily Blunt is. Right. But they're both great actors, so yeah. I'm happy with either one, which means neither one will be cast. And, it'd probably be some mousy brunette, like 4 feet tall, for all we know. But anyway, we probably won't hear casting news on that for, probably till next year. The movie's not until, 2018? Yeah, it's a little early.
Maybe.
Final bit of movie news. Batman v Superman. Some rumors coming out of Heroic Hollywood that they're going to do this sort of dual teaser reveal in October with
TV spots.
Yeah, TV spots.
Which I think is kind of early to do those, but okay.
Well, the movie's 6 months away.
Yeah, I know, but you don't really. I mean, usually the TV commercials don't start until.
TV spots don't start until like a month or two before.
But that's what this is going to be. It's going to be like a. TV. Well, it's going to premiere on TV. It's not.
It's,
you know.
It's like two teaser trailers. One is going to be supposedly premiering with Supergirl, and that's going to be a Superman-centric teaser.
Right.
And the other is going to premiere with Gotham.
The Superman-centric teaser is called Supergirl.
Yes. Where he just appears in shadow every single episode. Hello.
Couldn't get Henry Cavill to come in and do this, so it's just me.
They're just going to cut in. Dialogue from Man of Steel.
Right. Or Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah. The other one was going to premiere with Gotham, and that was going to be...
Sorry.
It's going to be a Batman-centric one.
And what?
Yeah, get I out. Know. It's the synergy. And this is all leading up to a longer trailer that's supposedly coming out probably with Creed or... Hunger Games.
That's around Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's around Thanksgiving.
In November, so around Thanksgiving. Which is cool.
I would like to see the Joker-centric trailer.
Leto was just talking about that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was saying something about how his portrayal, he's just doing the usual thing he does. He's a method actor, right?
I guess.
Yeah. So he's just talking about his time with the Joker and how his portrayal of him would likely get him put away into an asylum. Yeah, okay.
Hey, whatever you do, Jared Leto, don't say that your portrayal of the Joker make you kill yourself.
Yeah.
That probably won't endear you much to many people, especially a certain family in Australia.
Right.
With the last name Ledger.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's a good actor.
No, he is.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with the Joker. I liked the, 2 seconds of him that we got in the Suicide Squad teaser.
Yeah.
It looks good. I still hate the character designs, except for outside of Harley.
Yeah, I don't like the Joker character design at all. But, you know, I mean, that's... The one thing... The grill that he had, that actually made sense why they did that, but I still...
Yeah, because Batman knocked his teeth out.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But then what they should have done, they shouldn't have given him, like, bling. They should have just given him, like, just, like, big fake dentures. That would have been better, but... It would have made him look more like the Joker, too. But
yeah.
What do I know?
Hey. All right, so we're going to end up this podcast talking about one of your favorite topics.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are. Marvel villains. This is in celebration, Doug.
Celebrate. Sure.
This week, Avengers Age of Ultron coming out on Blu-ray this Friday, October 2nd.
Woo!
Now you, too, can relive such exciting scenes. As
you two can relive the exciting scenes because they can go and buy it.
Yes,
while they're on tour.
Yes, they can. Thank you. like the farm scene at Hawkeye's house.
I saw somebody post something that said, "I love Age of Ultron. It tells me that men can turn into giant green monsters, and that a monster is also a woman who can't have children." I was like, she's like, bravo. I'm like, yeah. Joss Whedon, everybody.
Yeah.
Feminist.
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a few months now since the release. I do want to see it again.
He wakes up in sweats waiting for it. He screams out, oh, Avengers!
Yeah, I do. Every night. It's how I wake myself up in the morning, actually. All of Me versus All of You. I haven't watched it, but they've been releasing a bunch of stuff from the Blu-ray this week.
I hate when they do that.
They released the gag reel online.
But it's just like, it's like, why do you need to do that? It's like the movie made like, how many hundreds of millions of dollars?
A billion point something.
Yeah, people are going to buy the fucking DVD, all right? So relax, okay? but that's Marvel's MO anyway. They always beat you to death with the clips and stuff like that. It's like, why are you doing that? People are going to go see this movie. Relax.
Yeah. apparently, one of the deleted scenes will try to make sense out of the Thor thing he did, where he's like, he was at the farm. He's just like, I got to go. And
I must go.
I gotta
take a thunder crap.
Yeah, so he goes skinny dipping in this pool. Stellan Skarsgård
watches while eating popcorn. Oh,
oh, this is so dangerous.
This is delicious.
Can you come out of the water and fling your hair again? Yeah, so at the time when the movie came out, that scene made no sense whatsoever.
No, because it was completely shoehorned into the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could just tell everything around it was cut.
Yeah.
But still, they left, like, the fact that he had to go visit, you know, his old friend Eric in the movie. So this is going to explain that whole thing. Apparently some Norn goddess is involved.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm in. But anyway, in light of the Age of Ultron release, I want to talk a little bit about Marvel villains.
They all suck. Thanks for listening, everybody.
They do not all suck.
We'll see you next time.
But I will say they're weighted towards the sucky end of the scale.
Let's talk about the best Marvel villain.
Well, here, I divided them up.
Okay? Wait.
Oh, no. We have five categories. Here are the five categories.
All right.
Awful.
Okay.
Bad. Average. Good. Great. Now, I have already given my opinion on these. You're going to do it without looking at my list.
I don't even remember all the stupid villains in the
Marvel movies. No, I've got them written down for you. So we're just going to go through the list. It's real quick.
Just go through the list.
We're going to go from beginning to end. We're going to go to beginning to end.
Okay.
Yeah, phase one all the way to the end of phase two. All
right.
So let's start with Ironmonger.
Ironmonger. I thought he was a... What are the categories? Good and great?
Yeah.
I thought he was good.
Okay.
I thought he had a good reason to hate Tony Stark.
Yes.
And it was good. There was good character development. They actually had a history.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. I wouldn't say great, but he was good.
Okay. Well, good is the correct answer because that's where I put him.
So it's a game show. You didn't tell me it was going to be a game show.
Well, I just made it a game show. It's a little impromptu decision. Yeah. So you're one for one. Ironmonger is, in fact, a good villain.
He's a good
villain. I would have liked to have seen more from him in future Iron Man movies, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah,
unless,
it's too bad.
You know,
Mark Miller will
make it happen.
Mark Miller will
make it happen. Yeah, he'll come back in Kingsman, coming your way in 2016.
Where's Tony?
No, he was a really good villain, I thought.
He was good. Yeah. I love the fact that Jeff Bridges shaved his head for it. That was awesome. Or was that a ball cap?
I think he shaved his head. Now, Bridges was great. I really liked him a lot. Okay, so we go from that to Abomination.
Abomination was...
Timothy Roth.
Right, yeah. He was average.
That's your first wrong answer. Abomination is in the bad category.
See, I thought he was average because, like, I thought they did a good job showing his kind of motivation. Like, he wanted to be like he wanted to, because he was getting an old soldier, and he wanted the power to go forward like that. They didn't really explain why he wanted to beat the crap out of the Hulk, but they didn't really explain that.
No. Well. See, I liked the part, I liked it when Tim Roth was in the movie. Mm-hmm. And when he was in the movie, he was up in the good category.
Right.
When he became the Abomination, then it just became sort of video game-ish.
It became an abomination.
An abomination. I didn't see that coming at all. I don't have an abomination category in here. But I don't think he's awful. I think he... Roth saved the role for me.
So it should have been average.
Yeah. No, but it was...
I think you're wrong.
No.
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
His part was not good enough to make it average.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Iron Man 2. We have Whiplash. I'm going to have to put that in quotes. Whiplash.
Yeah, because he was really somebody else, wasn't he, technically?
Well, they mangled that character. So this is, it's an infamous role now just because he's just so terrible.
He was, I'm guessing you put him in awful, but I would say he was bad.
You're going to put him in bad.
I'm putting him in bad. Because, again, he was like the Ironmonger. He had an interesting motivation, but they didn't fully develop it all the way.
Well, see, unlike Bridges, who did not...
Well, the acting wasn't great either.
No, the acting is what I think takes it from bad to awful. I have him in the awful category. And
he tried to make him very Mickey Rourke played him. He tried to make him very like idiosyncratic and stuff like that, and have him have a bunch of weird.
I vaunt my beard.
Yeah,
I think he hammed it up a lot.
Yeah, he did.
Which did not do his role any favors at all. And the final fight where he suits up as Whiplash at the very end lasted, I don't know, 30 seconds maybe.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he comes down. Grabs them both, and then of course, in true Marvel fashion, he takes off his helmet, and is like, ha, 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 "I win," and then they kill him.
Yeah.
So I've got him as awful. You've got him as bad. I did not put Justin Hammer on here.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. Let's talk about Justin Hammer.
Justin Hammer was awesome.
Yeah.
I love Sam Worthington.
Sam
Rockwell.
Yeah.
I always do
Rockwell.
See, I love Sam Rockwell. He's great.
I love him too. And where you know. They were both hamming it up.
Right. But his character called for it.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Guy's supposed to go in here. What? And I love when you come out. Because he does that in real life. Like, he'll go on a talk show, and he'll come out, and he starts, like, dancing. He comes out dancing, some of that. But that was great. I love Sam Rockwell. I hope they would put him in another Iron Man movie, honestly.
It would be nice. I would like to, you know, he is funny. And, you know, his ad-lib stuff in that movie was great. It doesn't make Justin Hammer I don't think it makes him a credible villain. I mean, he was kind of he's an idiot in that movie. Stark makes him look like an idiot. He looks like he can't, create anything to save his life.
Well, that's also the problem that they went with the Iron Man movies is because they, Tony Stark is sarcastic and all that kind of stuff, and he's good with a quip. So then they said, let's make it a comedy.
Yeah.
And then in Iron Man 3, they took it even further than that. So it was, that's the problem with the tone they're setting is that, because they could have made that movie should have been really, really dark.
It should have been Demon in a Bottle.
Yeah, it's the only one that really touched on that storyline at all.
Yeah.
And then instead he's drunk for 5 seconds and he's like, oh wait, I'm cured.
Yeah.
Let's go. Iron Man 2. Ugh. It has its moments, but overall it's not good.
Iron Man 2 is a bad movie. And Iron Man 3, a lot of people love that movie. We'll get to it in a minute. So after Iron Man 2, we have Thor. So we have our first introduction, or we have our introduction to Loki. Who then goes on to star in 38 more Marvel movies. Where do you put Loki on this list?
I'm going to put Loki as a good villain. Not great, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I never liked his motivation, especially in Avengers. In Avengers, his plan was weak. It was weak. and to be honest, I think that Avengers, I think when he came up in Avengers, he popped up again in Avengers, that opened the door to all this talk about how weak the Marvel villains are. It's because they're like, this is a guy that they developed from this other movie, and he just goes, I'm going to rule! It's like, why? Because I'm going to rule! It's like, alright, whatever.
No, see, I disagree. But...
Well, you're wrong. So
no, you're wrong.
No, that's cool.
We both have him in the good category.
Right.
I did not put him as great. That is something that would get you and I shot in some internet circles. Because people love some Loki.
He's great. I mean, Tom Hiddleston's great.
Hiddleston's
in the role,
fantastic.
But they don't write him very well.
See, I thought his motivation was okay. You know, he's somebody who was told from birth that he was going to be a king. But then Odin turns around, only one of you can be king.
He told him that when he was a little kid.
He's like, you're both destined to be a king, but only one of you is going to be a king. Sorry, I'm going to go over here now. So, I bought the sibling rivalry with Thor.
I like that. I like that. It's just, I mean, I just thought, you know, I liked him better in Thor, I would say, than I did in Avengers.
Hmm.
In Avengers, I got to be honest, I think the only reason why he was almost kind of in Avengers is because they wanted to have that homage to the first issue of Avengers, where he basically is the reason why the Avengers formed.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the only reason why they did that. I thought they weakened him in Avengers. I did.
Weakened? You mean in character terms?
Character terms, yeah.
Okay, because power-wise, I was going to say...
Oh, no, power-wise, he went up because he had the staff and stuff like that. But yeah. I mean, in character terms, I think they weakened him. And then he came back in Thor 2, and he was the best part of Thor 2.
He was definitely the best part of Thor 2. Okay, so we both have him in the good category. Next up is Red Skull. Captain America First Avenger.
Red Skull, I say, is good.
Because really?
Well, it's also because I have an affinity for the Red Skull. I like that character. I think Hugo Weaving did a good job with it. I don't think they wrote him very well.
No, I don't think
so. I thought his performance was good, and I like the Red Skull just in general because I think he's one of the cooler Marvel villains. So he could have been great, but he was just good.
All right. I had him in the average category just because the rivalry between him and Captain America – there was not a lot there for me. I don't think that was written particularly well. I didn't hate his accent. A lot of people got on him for his lack of German accent. It's not a lack of a German accent. He was patterning it after Werner Herzog.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks exactly like him in that movie. You know, I thought he was okay. It was kind of an okay role. There wasn't a lot of great stuff there for him.
No, there really wasn't. Captain America was one of those movies that was decent.
Yeah.
But it was the one movie that made me want to see a sequel. And we talked about that before, like when those movies came out. That Thor, like I liked Thor, but I was like, if I didn't see another Thor movie, if I only saw him in Avengers, I wouldn't care. But Captain America made me, it was a good springboard. But the movie itself was decent. It was good. I didn't think it was great.
I thought it was really good up until... they started doing the montage of his war.
Oh, when he was actually in the war.
Yeah, when he was fighting in the war.
See, like, I liked the montage when he was in the USO. That was funny.
Oh, no, that was good. But when, like, he became Captain America, right. And then there's this montage of him, you know, with the Howling Commandos, and then, you know, Bucky dies. And then that's the, you know, they just go straight to that. And
yeah.
So they skipped over so much material
yeah.
in that montage. That would have been really nice to see.
It's almost like they took too long to make him Captain America.
Yeah, basically. They did. I mean, it was really good, the stuff that led up to that. But they ended up cutting a lot of stuff, which frankly could have bolstered the Red Skull character.
Yeah.
You could have
had them fight before and then they fight at the end.
You could have deepened that conflict.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unfortunate. I think he could have been good or great. To me, he was just average. So next up, we went back to Loki. We already talked about Loki. So we go to Iron Man 3 and our Mandarins.
Well, which one?
Yeah, I separated them. So I have Trevor and Killian.
Trevor, I thought, was an interesting twist. But as a fan of the source material stuff and Marvel Comics in general, it was awful.
Yes.
I thought it was... Because the reason why it was awful, and the fact that they had to do a short later to fix it, basically, is a clue.
Yeah.
Is because in the first Iron Man, the guys who kidnap him, they set that all up, that they're all part of the Mandarin, they're the Ten Rings and all that stuff. They set this all up. And then they just crapped all over in Iron Man 3 because Shane Black came in and said, I'm going to make a Shane Black movie.
Yeah.
And
they totally destroyed everything that they had, all the groundwork they had laid. Up to that point, you know, they should have mined all of that from Iron Man 1.
Mm-hmm.
Totally forgot it all.
Yeah. And Killian, I'd say he was average, I guess. Average too bad. Because when his whole reason for being was like, you embarrassed me.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a loser. It's like, you suck. You're terrible. But I liked I like Guy Pearce, and I thought he did a good job in the role.
I like Guy Pearce too. I also thought he did a good job,
and I thought I liked the powers and stuff like that. I thought that was cool.
The powers were very cool. You and I had the same thing here. I had Trevor as awful, and Killian as average. I wanted to like Killian more. His motivation
is weak.
Is extremely weak.
Yeah,
Tony Stark left me on the roof for 5 minutes.
You know, and now I want to make more money than him.
Yeah.
Go rob a bank.
Yeah, you could do that turnaround story so much better.
Mm. To be honest, the best villain in the whole thing was Rebecca Hall.
Yeah.
She was the best villain in the whole thing.
Rebecca Hall was really good. So moving on from Iron Man 3, we go to your number one movie in Phase 2, Thor the Dark World.
Awful. Next.
Okay. You know what? I left Curse off this list. Let's put Curse on here.
Oh, in the 5 seconds he was in the movie?
Yeah.
No. Keep going.
Okay. You say Curse is unranked. I'm going to go with average on Curse.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, he had a good fight with Thor. He looked cool. But that was the extent of the movie for Curse.
Yeah.
Malekith.
Terrible.
I think this is a slam dunk awful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is a god-awful role.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie was poorly, poorly written.
It's a horrible movie with an abysmal villain. Yeah, easily, I think, the worst of the Marvel movies, The Dark World. Loki gave probably his best performance in that movie. The Thor-Loki stuff was the only really... Well, besides the Chris Evans cameo.
Yeah, which is great.
Which was really funny. The Thor-Loki stuff was the best part of the movie. Jane ruins every movie for me.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her in Thor, honestly. I liked her. I thought Natalie Portman showed kind of a different side of herself when she played her. You know, she was kind of like... I've never really seen Natalie Portman play kind of like a head over heels, kind of like in love. You know, she's usually very brainiac and detached and stuff like that, and, which is fine, which is good. But the fact that they made her the focal point for Thor 2 was stupid.
Yeah.
That was bad. They
shouldn't. Yeah, and Sif should have been the focal point of
I don't know about that, but...
I do know about that, and Jamie Alexander forever.
Have you watched her show on Hulu?
I have not. I do enjoy her guest appearances on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Whatever. Those are probably done now.
I'm sure she'll come back one more time. She'll just have tattoos all over her.
She already does in real life.
Okay, so we all agree that Malekith was awful.
Yeah, he was.
Next up would be the Winter Soldier.
He's in the great category.
He is.
Because of the background that he has with Cap, and it's. Yeah. But the other thing is too is that's kind of weighted, because it's like, you know where his story is going to kind of go, so it's like, you know it's like a good story.
You do, but the reason this is my only entry in the great category here.
What?
I know. I just gave away the rest of the list.
Not Ronan the Accuser.
We're gonna get to Ronan. He's my lone entry for the great category because it was so personal.
Yeah.
The conflict between them in The Winter Soldier. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, the characters are so rich and there's so much history between them. And you could just feel it in that last fight.
Yep.
You know, Evans, the pain that he's going through having to fight his best friend who doesn't remember him and is trying to kill him.
Right.
And, you know, the little soliloquy he gives at the end, you know, you're just going to have to do it. You're going to have to go all the way.
Right.
And then Bucky, you know, saving him by dragging him out of the water at the end. It was a great moment. And
then their love scene at the end.
And then when they kissed, I thought that was... now we're just reading off Tumblr. Okay. No, Winter Soldier, easy choice for the great category. Now we get to Age of Ultron.
Wrong.
No, we have to go over this. Ultron as a villain.
No, you skipped Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
It's that outlier.
Yeah, Miss Marvel, Mr. Marvel fan.
So, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ronan.
Bad.
Really?
I did not like Ronan. I thought Ronan... In fact, I didn't like any of the villains in... I liked the Collector.
Okay.
I thought what's her face? Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
I thought she was
Nebula.
Awful. She was awful. Nebula was awful. Okay. She was so hammy, and it was terrible. She was terrible. Ronan, I say, is bad to maybe average. He just had no... all the stuff they did for, like, his background and, like, his motivation was just, like, throwaway lines. It was just throwaway lines, like, oh, he's this guy and whatever. And, like, you didn't feel anything. And I love Lee Pace. I think he's great. I loved him on, like, Pushing Daisies and stuff like that. But I thought his character was completely underserved.
Yeah.
And to me, the fact that he's in it and all that, it's just, like... It's like to me it felt like they were just like kind of like dicking around. It's like why is he just put Thanos in it?
Yeah,
just make it Thanos. Just you know you don't have to make him Thanos. You know with the gauntlet. You know just because to be honest, Thanos used to have a helicopter and he fought Spider-Man in New York. Okay, so it's like
he had the Thanos copter.
You could make Thanos not a joke, but you could make Thanos not as powerful as he ends up becoming with the Infinity Gauntlet. You could have had him be the villain or something like that. Or they should have made just the Collector be the villain. I would
get one or the other. That would work for me. You know, as much as I love Guardians of the Galaxy, it is funny to me how the villain or villains are kind of an afterthought. It's you know, it's mostly about bringing the team together and telling their stories, and that part is done really well. But the villain, I will admit, does get kind of...
So weak.
He kind of gets left behind. Because, you know, he doesn't have as strong a story as everybody else in the entire movie.
He doesn't.
So, that was the only real weak spot to that movie. And so I have him as average. You have him as bad to average. So we're pretty close. He did nothing memorable in that movie.
No.
He looked cool.
Yeah.
Nebula, I didn't like.
She's awful. And to be honest, it's like I said, I kind of had to put it in with, I could see the sister rivalry working on like a Loki Thor level, but she's so over the top and so hammy in that movie. It's just like, and like Zoe Saldana played it just perfectly, you know, as
Gamora. I love Gamora.
But Nebula, she was so over the top and hammy. And I was really disappointed. Like when she's like, I mean, she literally says, "Get out of my way." Yeah. I'm just like, shut up. It's like, you know, oh, no. It's when she jumps on the ship and pulls a guy and she's like, "Get out of this ship." Yeah. I was like, oh, this is stupid. This is terrible.
Yeah. I like Karen Gillian. The Nebula role did nothing for me, though.
Sorry, Doctor Who fans.
Yes. We apologize.
She was terrible in that movie.
But Gamora was fantastic. I love Gamora.
So well, she's not a villain.
Yeah, well, I know. But that's, you know, the team in that movie more than made up for the lack of a good villain. So now we get to the reason we're having this list in the first place, Ultron. To me, the most frustrating of all the villains Marvel's had so far, because the casting, the writer, the movie itself, the situation, Ultron should have been in the great category. He's not.
He's in the bad category.
Yeah, right. I have him an average, but either way, he does not live up to the potential.
When the movie's called Age of Ultron, he should be a little bit better than he was.
He should. You know, the common thread when we talk about bad villains so far has been a weak motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comics, he has a very strong motivation.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even in the cartoon he did.
Yeah, the cartoon, I thought they did Ultron so much better on the Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon.
Yeah.
Because they gave it time to grow. Develop. And we talked before about how, you know, it should have started in Winter Soldier.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Iron Man 3 should have been the seed for that whole thing. So they could have slowly built it up during the entire phase.
Right.
And then had Age of Ultron culminate, you know, with him finally turning evil and hating the Avengers. But instead,
the movie Weekend of Ultron.
Yeah.
Weekend of Ultron.
But instead, it's like we see him being born,
and then he decides
to hate the Avengers.
Hate.
He watches a montage of Phase One. He's like, screw these guys, I hate them. And then it's off to the races. You know,
it's like Patton Oswalt's bit. Hate, I hate.
Yeah, so he wakes up and he's all groggy. He's like, "Who am I? Where am I? Ugh, Tony Stark. I hate that guy." You know, and then you know he kills Jarvis, and then we're off. It's Ultron. It was just I don't know who's to blame there. It's I expected more I will say, from Whedon.
Yeah.
With a character that he fought for. I mean, this was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
Where after Avengers came out, he's like, I don't know if I want to make another one, but if I did, it would be about Ultron. And, you know, it's, so this is his idea that he's pitched.
Right.
And so it was really frustrating to see Ultron come across on the screen as just, you know, this weak motivation villain again. Who actually has a pretty cool plan, I thought. But with no motivation, it's...
Yeah, his plan was very suitably comic booky.
Yeah, it was.
Which is fine. I mean, they're comic
book movies. I mean, it was a good ending sequence to the movie where it gave it the suitable amount of tension I think you need, but the lack of tension came from the build-up to it.
Right. It's, yeah. That's what people complain about, like, Batman Begins. That's what people complain about, like, Ra's al Ghul. They're like, his plan was stupid. I'm like, well, it's still technically a comic movie, and his plan was very suitably comic booky.
You know? It was.
But, you know, so that's how I feel about it.
Conflict was more personal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ra's al Ghul
destroys the fact that his plan was stupid, I didn't really care as much because I cared more about the characters.
It's the same thing as Magneto. It's the same thing as Magneto's plan in the first X-Men. It's his plan is suitably comic booky, but, you know, but the. Honestly, the best Marvel villain in all the movies is Magneto. Mm. You know why? Because he's been in every single goddamn X-Men movie. So it's like he's had plenty of time to develop.
Yeah. It's a game of numbers. Yeah, I don't know. I really wanted to like him more. It's unfortunate that we got the Ultron that we did. Maybe we'll see him again, because, you know, Ultron never, ever dies. Who knows?
Not according to the Vision.
Yeah. That's the one scene I did really like in Age
of Ultron. Yeah, that was good. That was a good scene.
I liked the talk between Vision and Ultron at the very end. That is the kind of stuff I want to see, the interaction with Ultron in the Avengers.
You know what I really loved about Age of Ultron? The unnecessary and shoehorned romance between the Hulk and Scarlet, and whatever, Black Widow.
That barren monster, you mean? Yeah, that was terrible. And it sounded like I'm hating on the movie. I still really liked it, but
it was fun.
It's a shade below Avengers for me.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Mostly because of Ultron.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, it probably goes. For me, it probably goes. It's definitely Winter Soldier's number one.
Mm.
Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, they're kind of neck and neck because Guardians of the Galaxy, I love the characters, hate the villain.
Mm.
I like Loki, even though his plan was freaking weak. I like the villain better.
Mm-hmm.
And I love seeing the Avengers come together. So they're kind of neck and neck for me.
That movie was really mostly about the Avengers coming together.
Just and then Iron Man. And then Iron Man 1. And then Iron Man 1.
Iron Man 1 is great.
And then all the rest just kind of tumble after that.
Yeah, I would agree. The Winter Soldier just keeps climbing the list. I mean, every time I watch it now, it just keeps getting better. I love that movie.
That tanker scene never gets old.
The tanker scene never gets old. It is so good.
Yeah.
And the final fight. I love the final fight. So now let's move on to the final movie of Phase 2. Ant-Man.
And the greatest villain of them all.
I said there was only one great. I lied. There's two. No, I did not lie. There's only one great, and that's Winter Soldier. We have Yellowjacket.
Another awful villain.
Yes, you got the last one right.
It's a shame, because I like Corey Stoll a lot, but again, it's just weak motivation. He's you know, I always call Gambit the poor man's Wolverine. Yellowjacket is the poor man's Obadiah Stane, basically.
Yeah, because
he's just
is.
Like, I should have been in charge of your company and blah.
Yeah,
use the shrink beam again, but don't change any element of the experiment, and we'll see if the results are different.
Bring me another sheep.
Bring me another sheep to shrink.
I will murder another one in the name
of
science.
Like, and Dirty A brought up a great point. I think it was Dirty A brought up in the podcast. He's like, why did he care? He had technology that he could shrink stuff. Do you know how much he would save on shipping? And then he would just have to make it come back bigger later. He's like, he could have made a killing, but all he wants to do is, I need to make little soldiers. No, you don't.
Well, Hydra offered him a lot of money.
Whatever. He could have made a ton of, he could have made a bajillion zillion dollars.
Yeah. He was just missing a mustache to twirl.
Basically.
In that movie.
He was terrible.
It's so bad. Which again is kind of, you know, it's otherwise, I thought it was a really good movie.
You know, the worst villain is in Ant-Man? Paul Rudd from stealing that movie away from Evangeline Lilly. That's who the whole, that's who
the movie should have been called Wasp.
That's who the biggest villain is in Ant-Man.
And the burgle was that Paul Rudd stole it.
Exactly.
Made it Ant-Man. But I can't say anything because he's my Hollywood man crush. So therefore, I loved every minute of it.
Oh God, loser! Even I can say, the last 15 minutes of the Wolverine sucked.
It did suck.
And I love me some Hugh Jackman.
Oh man, there's a movie where it was so good.
I know.
Until,
and I can't even say the last 15 minutes because I do like the coda at the end when they're at the airport and stuff like that. I like, yeah, like
the coda's nice. It's the climactic battle.
The robot samurai was terrible.
Yeah, let's bring out a 20-foot CGI robot samurai.
And even I'll admit that there are problems also with The Dark Knight Rises with my other Hollywood man crush, Christian Bale.
Right. I thought you were going to be ballsy and say something was wrong with The Dark Knight.
There's nothing wrong with
The Dark Knight is a perfect movie.
That's just like honest trailers. They nitpick little things. They go, oh, are we kidding? This movie's awesome. It's like, it's the truth. It's like, you know, no matter what you can nitpick about The Dark Knight.
They did the
like,
same thing for The Winter Soldier.
Oh, they did? Yeah.
They
are we kidding? This movie's awesome.
This movie's awesome. What are you talking about? Sorry, Yellow Jacket. You're on the awful list.
Yeah. Join Trevor the Mandarin in hell.
And Malekith.
Yeah. enjoy your pup crawl from hell.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week.
Yes, that'll do it for this episode of the Crossover Podcast. And I don't know what we'll talk about next time, but we'll talk about something.
I'm sure
hopefully by then we'll have a damn X-Men Apocalypse trailer. Because I'm still hearing rumblings that it could be attached to The Martian.
All right.
But who knows?
Well, we'll report back. We're seeing The Martian on Friday.
Thursday,
I said.
But I don't know if they would attach it. There was a screener tonight, but I don't know if they would attach it to the screen.
They normally don't.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do.
All right.
So I might have to contact Dirty A and see if they put it on there.
All right.
Well, we'll see you next time.
See you later.